So we're in the middle of a series on trusting God. It's very good. It is a good series, quite relevant. We could do this any time of year for however many weeks we wanted to, and it would still be relevant. Pretty big theme from the Bible, and a pretty big theme from just about everybody's life. So we'd like to cover this. So a couple weeks ago, my wonderful wife, Noelle, spoke, and she was talking about just our incredible need to trust in God. How we really can't do it on our own, and we do need to trust in God. Last week, we had our amazing pastoral intern, Ryan, and he was talking about that we can trust in God, that God is trustworthy, that God is the only thing that we can trust in, the only person that we can trust in. All right, so I'm going to talk to you tonight a little bit about how we come to a place of trusting in God. Because, you know, I think for a lot of us who may have grown up in the church, maybe you didn't, but I think culturally, it's often explained to us that we should trust in God, that it's a good thing to do. And even in our own understanding, we may know that we should trust in God, and we may believe that trusting in God is the right thing to do. But just because all that stuff is present in our head and in our culture doesn't always mean we do it. Right?
Right.
Okay, for those of you who haven't had me preach before, I know there's a bunch of new people. I like engagement and interactivity. And so when I ask you a question, unless I say that's rhetorical, I don't want an answer. Most of the time, I'm looking for an answer. So when I say right, you say
right.
That's good. Okay. So the reason for me that I've become aware of, one of the main reasons why I don't take that step and actually trust God, even though I know it's the right thing, even though I know it's what I need to do and that He is trustworthy, is that, truthfully, I don't really know His character. And that's what's often stopping me from taking that step of trusting in Him. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Why don't you skip ahead there? This is Noelle and my first offspring. Alright. This is our dog. His name is Bandit. And he's wonderful. Alright, why don't you go on to the next one?
I just wanted to tell you.
Can you see where this is going?
No.
Okay, then you haven't seen the movie Up. Let's go back. See that attentive look in his eyes? That is a dog that likes to pay attention. When you take this dog for a walk, he will pay very close attention to everything that's going on around him.
Especially his squirrel.
And we live right near Hyde Park. So we have lots of these around. Alright, you guys will have to watch Up to get the full humor of this, but Bandit, when we go for a walk, if Bandit sees a squirrel, he is singularly focused on catching that squirrel. If you've never had the joy of a dog that does this before, it's quite entertaining. Bandit's like a good 60 pounds at least of solid muscle, and so although it's entertaining, it's also quite dangerous and annoying. So I walk Bandit on a regular basis, and yeah, it is good. And so when I go walking Bandit, he will see these squirrels and he will just pull on his leash. Okay? How many of you have walked a dog before? It's like the front couple rows. That's it.
Okay.
How many of you guys have seen somebody walking a dog before? How many of you are just not gonna put up your hand? Without the like engagement of the rest of your body, if the only thing going right now is your ears, it's going to be hard for you to get anything from this. So I'm going to encourage you to continue the interactivity. But if you've ever seen somebody walking a dog, there are some people that walk a dog with what's called loose leash walking, which is where they walk and there is slack in the leash because the dog is walking beside them. It is excellent. It is a sign of a well-trained dog or a very old dog. Now, many other people will be walking with a dog and their arm is stretched out like this, the leash is completely tight. You'll often see this with little dogs, their legs are like scraping on the ground like they're on ice. They're going like way faster than what their body is actually moving, and they're putting all of their weight on the collar. You'll sometimes see it with bigger dogs, although it's a lot more scary with bigger dogs because they can actually move their owners. Bandit is one of those dogs. Okay, so the thing with Bandit is that when he sees this squirrel, he pulls because he wants it, right?
Yes.
If you guys don't get this, you are definitely not going to get where I'm going with this. Okay? He sees the squirrel, he wants the squirrel, he pulls to get the squirrel. The thing is that Bandit is taking full responsibility for what he wants. He's oblivious to the fact that I'm actually his caretaker, and that what he wants is going to be largely based on what I see is fit for him. Okay? And so Bandit is pulling, 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 thinking that he's the one that's responsible for getting this squirrel, thinking that everything that he does is going to be what gets him the squirrel. Meanwhile, he doesn't realize that he's not going anywhere because I'm not moving and I'm the one holding the leash. Okay? You follow that. You can get this picture now. So, I'm standing completely still on the sidewalk. Bandit has this leash as far as he can pull it, and he is pulling even further, trying to get a squirrel up ahead. Now, very early on, we trained Bandit that when he pulls, I will stop and we will not be going anywhere until he sits down. And so Bandit, when he sees the squirrel, now has the choice of if he wants to continue going in the direction of that squirrel, he's going to have to sit down and take the tension off of the leash. Bandit does not always want to do that because, again, he doesn't have in his brain this concept that I actually play a role in him getting what he wants. He's just got this concept that he has to get what he wants. And so Bandit will continue to pull. And, you know, this week, like as I was prepping for my sermon, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to highlight things in my life, Bandit actually had some major breakthrough this week with loose leash walking.
Wonderful.
It's truly a miracle. And Bandit has actually begun to understand a little bit of this concept. And so I was talking to the Holy Spirit about it, and the Holy Spirit was highlighting some things for me that Bandit does. Because now, when Bandit sees a squirrel, he will right away sit down and look at it. Okay? Or what he will also start to do sometimes is if he sees a squirrel, and I've seen the squirrel as well, and I haven't stopped walking yet because he hasn't been pulling yet, is he will start to stalk. Because stalking, like when he's stalking along the ground like a dog chasing his prey, he's not pulling on the leash because he's moving nice and slow alongside me. He'll just move with me. And so, Bandit has started to learn these things. And God really started to highlight for me a little bit of what was going on in Bandit. I was like, wow, this is a good sermon. Okay. So we need to look at the journey a little bit. First, when I got Bandit, he would like be completely reluctant about sitting. He would continue to pull on the leash. Right? You got that part?
Yes.
Now we've come to a place where Bandit looks to me for his cues.
Good.
Good? Okay, so how does this all tie in? Well, Bandit... Okay, so Bandit is often like me in my relationship with God. Casey didn't pick that up yet. The thing is that there's always things that I want. No matter like what stage in life I'm at, there's things that I want. Sometimes very, very good things, like I'm looking for the next step in my career, I'm looking for growing relationships and friendships, like really, really good things like that. Sometimes it can be really practical things, like I'm looking for a specific item for our house, I want to upgrade our TV, something like that. And but there's always something that I want. And in my life, I tend to take responsibility for that myself, right? If I see something that I want, just like Bandit, he sees the squirrel, he wants it, I just go after it myself. I'm like, it's just all about me, nothing else to consider. But the thing is, though, that God is actually referred to as our Father, right? And God is our caretaker. Right? That's not the only thing that he is, but that is one of the aspects of who he is. It's one of the things a father does, is they take care of their offspring. They take care of their kids in the same way that I take care of Bandit. Like, Noelle and I really, really love Bandit. There's no practical reason for us having a dog. It's not like he performs some service for us. He's great at shredding towels. Anyone need that? We can let them know Friday. Aside from that, there's not a service that he does for us. It's just that we get to take care of him, love him, and just have this wonderful relationship with him. I know it sounds weird if you're not a dog person, but if you are, then you get what I'm talking about. If not, just stretch with me. So, with knowing that God is my caretaker then, I start to understand a little bit more about his character by how Bandit interacts with me. Okay, so just going back to Bandit, when I was talking with God about what is this break in Bandit's behavior, because he's changed quite dramatically in his lack of pulling now, and I was like, God, like what is going on? Because I really want to harness this because I like this all the time. I hope this isn't just some temporary switch. I'm like, what is going on? And God showed me what had changed. A couple weeks ago, Bandit started becoming very good about sitting when he saw a squirrel. Like, he would still maybe take him a little bit, but as soon as he would pull on the leash, he would sit. And so when he started to do that, in those times, as soon as he would sit, I would run with him and we would chase the squirrel. Okay? So one, we'd go together, which would get Bandit even more hyped up, because now not only is he chasing a squirrel, but his owner is like running like a madman across the street and across our neighbor's lawns to get this squirrel and chase it up a tree. Okay? So Bandit is like absolutely loving this. And in that, Bandit started to learn that I actually take delight in the things that delight him. And so Bandit now knows, and or is learning, I mean, he's not perfect, but he's learning that I actually want the things that are good for him that he wants. Okay, so Bandit really, really likes to chase squirrels. He takes joy in that. Well, I take joy in watching him do something that he takes joy in. Okay? You're also like, okay, it's just a dog. But the reality is that's how we engage with God, or rather, that's how God engages with us. Sometimes we're like the dog at the end of the leash, just like, I'm just gonna go for what I want. And sometimes we see God as the obstacle, God's like the thing holding us back. Meanwhile, God's saying like, no, 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 you don't understand. I delight in what you delight in. I am eager to give you the things that bring you joy. But let's talk about that, because you all know that a dog just running any time that they want after a squirrel is not a safe thing. I hold Bandit back because it's the safest thing for him. It's the best thing for him. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know that there's going to be times where he can't just chase a squirrel, that before he can just chase squirrels freely, that he has to learn to trust me and trust my judgment. And that's the place that he's coming to. Like, he sits down now and he'll look up at me. And he'll say, like, are we going to do this or not? And he's getting to the point now that he'll see a squirrel, you know, 5 feet away from him, he'll see a squirrel, he'll go to pull, and I'll say no, and he won't even make it to the end of his leash. And then he'll stare the squirrel down, and he'll let that squirrel know who's boss with his eyes. But he'll just walk with me. Okay? It's amazing. Why don't you flip ahead with me? Okay, so really what this all comes down to, like what I'm really talking about with this, is our perspective of God. Because oftentimes we don't look at God as our caretaker, and that's why it's difficult to trust him, is because we're not actually looking at what are the characteristics of God, we're looking at the action. And Bandit's just like, there's a collar on my neck holding me back, and that's all we can see sometimes, is like, how is God, how are these rules, how are these hoops that God's put before me to jump through holding me back from the things that I want? Meanwhile, God is saying, like, you aren't getting it, this is about my character, because I actually have way better things in store for you. I delight in what you delight in. And he wants to show us that. He's not holding us back. Go ahead. Back on. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. No, that was the right one. I just can't read it. Don't worry, I'll read it. It's okay. Okay. God wants us to know his character so well that we put all of our trust in him. That's what he's hoping for. God is not looking for us to blindly just put our trust in him, but he wants us to know his character. Like, I don't take delight in the fact that Bandit sits down. Okay, lots of dogs sit down. That means absolutely nothing to me. I take delight in the fact that Bandit trusts me so much now that he knows when I say no, it's not okay, that he will listen to me. Okay, because he knows, it's not about the fact that he's listened to me, it's about the fact that he knows me well enough. I like that. Alright, go ahead. So how do we get to this place where we actually can know that we know God's character, that we do start to understand that this is what God is all about? Jump into that. You guys can flip there, okay? If you want. Psalms 34, verse 8. I'm sorry, these colors are really hard tonight. I don't know. Usually this is the font that I can read, but it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him." Okay? You guys may have heard a song, sings this over a few times. "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Well, the thing about that is we have to actually dive in, right? You can't just look at food and tell whether it tastes good or not, right? Many of us probably tried that with our parents. "I don't like that." "Well, have you tried it before?" "No, but I don't like the way it looks." Okay? We can approach God the same way, and I think like that's a little bit of what this is addressing, right? That we need to actually taste of God. We need to give God that opportunity. Well, let me tell you, Bandit would not do that at first. Bandit would not sit down. He would do nothing but pull on the collar because he just wanted that squirrel. He wouldn't even give me the opportunity that, like, because that was our plan right away, is that if he would sit, we would reward him by letting him do the thing that he wanted to do. As long as it was like within reason and not going to hurt him, if he wanted to chase a squirrel, like that would be the reward. But he wouldn't even give us a chance because he wouldn't sit. He was just too stubborn. He's like, "I see that squirrel. I'm going for that squirrel. There's something pulling on my neck. I'm going for the squirrel. There's something pulling on my neck. I just don't care. I'm going for the squirrel." Okay? And he never gave us that opportunity. And then he started giving us that opportunity, and it's through that he started to learn. All right. Sometimes we overcomplicate things by thinking that we have to agree with God beforehand in order to do. Right? Do you get that? We feel like we have to like understand what God is doing, understand what's coming, understand exactly how He's going to respond to our action in order for it to be worth doing, in order for us to take that step of doing. Okay, but understanding is not trusting. Because if we fully understand, like, exactly how things are going to work out, then it doesn't actually take trust to do it. It's our own understanding. We know how somebody else is going to play into that, but we don't really have to trust them for it because we just understand it enough that we know that that's what's going to happen. Okay, so God is not looking for us to completely understand how He works. In fact, if you read through the Bible, it's pretty clear that we're not going to understand the fullness of God. So we can put away that futile attempt right now of trying to understand God in order to trust Him. Okay? I have tried for years, and I am so far from understanding the fullness of God. And like the more and more I understand about Him, the cooler that life becomes, but I never, no matter how far I go, I never come to the place where I actually understand the fullness of God in any situation. You see this in Proverbs 3:5? Okay, pause before I read that. For those of you who haven't been coming before, I want to let you guys know you'll get a lot more out of our Sunday nights if you bring pen and paper with you and a Bible. But even if you don't look up the scriptures as we're putting them up here on a Sunday night, like if you write them down and go back throughout the week, a lot of these scriptures can be really foundational to building our walk with God. And if you just hear it and you forget about it, I mean, we do put up the MP3s every week, so you can check those out as well. But if you hear it and you forget about it, then like there's not a lot of point in you even receiving it in the first place. So definitely write these things down. It's one of the reasons why I'm kind of not waiting for everybody to flip there. Plus, most of you use digital Bibles, and it doesn't take that long to flip. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding." This is the wisdom of Solomon, one of the greatest kings that ever lived. And he's saying, like, don't Don't go with your own understanding. Just trust God with your heart. It's more of a heart thing, okay? It's that thing that we don't need to understand and agree in order to actually trust God. Why don't you flip it? Okay, it's obedience, not agreement, that builds trust. Now, I want to just sidestep this for a second. God is not looking for obedience sake. Can we go back to the dog analogy for a second? I have seen some dog owners who will make their dogs do ridiculous things just to watch their dog obey them and just to show everybody else how amazing they are at making their dog obey them. It's just ridiculous. If you ever see people like this at the dog park or on the street, everyone just kind of rolls their eyes at them because they're like, why would you ever need to train your dog to do that? Why do you need this kind of like absolute control over your dog? You don't. I mean, that's one of the joys of having a dog is getting to watch how they interact with you. If I wanted to have complete control over something, I would build a robot. Okay? God is not looking for obedience sake. Alright? I just want to put that out there right away. But God is looking for obedience because our obedience shows our trust. Now, I'll break that down because you can be like, if we read through right around the time where Jesus showed up on the earth, most of the very religious people were good at obeying, but they were obeying for obedience sake. They were not actually trusting God. So you can't obey without actually trusting. Okay? So that's not what this point is trying to say. What this point is really focused on is that we don't just agree with what God is saying, but we actually follow through with it. Okay? So, like, Bandit, I take delight in him sitting because he trusts me to run after the squirrel with him. I don't take delight in him sitting because he did what I wanted him to do. Okay? But him sitting shows that he's now come to the place where he knows me well enough to know that it is a good thing to do the things that I'm asking him to do. So it is with God, that God is looking for us to come to a place where we know him so well that we know that doing what he is asking of us is a good thing for us. It's not because he just wants us to do what he wants us to do. It's not like he just wrote a list of rules to occupy himself enforcing them for the next millennia. Go forward one. Oh, okay. Maybe go back so that we're not looking at Bandit's face while I... Exactly, that's why. Okay. So, obedience to what? Right? I know obedience to God, but that's... I'm keep talking about Bandit for a minute here. Okay, so it's very easy in a situation where I've got the collar on Ben's neck and it's being pulled very tight and he knows exactly what he's meant to do. Okay, that's easy. When we're in those situations with God, that's one type of battle where we know exactly what God has said to do and we're like, okay, so now I just do or do not do. But the reality is like, and dogs are great at this, this is why God so often will use my life to show me the roles where I'm kind of walking in the role of God. Okay? Do you understand that? So like taking care of a dog, being a father, pastoring a church. There's different ways that these are like metaphors for how God cares for us. And so God loves to use these things because they're just great metaphors. I mean, God made animals and the way that they respond to us is often quite telling. That's why he talks about sheep a lot in the Bible. So Bandit, as with most dogs, are very eager to be obedient. The issue is that they often don't know what to do to be obedient. They don't know what you want half the time. How many of you feel like that in your relationship with God? We're like, I'll do what you say. I'm wanting to like put you to the test, God. I'm wanting to taste and see, but I don't know what steps to take. Well, that's like, That is something that's totally my heart. That's totally the way that I've pursued God. It's like, I'm willing, God, but I often feel like I don't know what God is asking me to do. And the worst is when, like, God gives me options, and he's just like, well, you can just do anything, because I'm not asking you to be obedient to a specific action. It's more just be obedient to my character. My God, this is so frustrating. The thing is that Bandit, the more and more time that he spent with us, he started to understand the way that we work, right? The way that we work in our daily lives, how we do things, what brings us delight, what doesn't, when we're in a good mood, when we're in a bad mood. Like, Bandit is wonderful at when one of us are feeling down, he'll just, like, come and just put his head, like, on our lap. Or he'll climb up on top of us and just put his nose against our nose. Because he has this sense, right? And he started to pick that up by being around us enough. And it was like walking with Bandit day to day, he started to understand what behaviors were good and what behaviors weren't. He started to understand when he did certain things with me, like walk beside me in a nice line, that we would get to do more, that we would have more fun. He understood that the relationship, like, that he and I have goes a lot further when he, like, responds to me and where I'm at and what I'm doing. Okay? That's the type of relationship that God is looking for with us. God is looking for a relationship where we are around him so much, where we are, like, responding to him in different ways, in different capacities, so frequently that we start to really understand his character. We start to understand things like, wow, I feel like I get really clear answers to my prayers when I pray on a regular basis in this same spot. Okay? That's just an example. I'm not saying you have to go pray on a regular basis in the same spot, but sometimes that's what we discover about God in our own relationship with him. Like, God interacts with each of us differently. The same way that if I were to borrow Ruth and Marcel's dog and take him for a walk, he would not respond to me in the same way that Bandit does. Right? God responds to each of us in different ways according to our relationship with him. And so there's things that we can do to taste and see that the Lord is good before the Lord is giving us an outright command of, like, follow this directive. Right? We engage with him on a daily basis. Right? Because, let me tell you, we went away for a week, and coming back after a week, it was a big hassle to try and work with Bandit on all the things that I've been trying to work with him on, because I'm not consistent with him then. Right? If I go one day without taking him for a long walk, where I make him follow all the kind of things that we put in place that he's learning, if I go one day without that, he starts to forget it. And you laugh. The funny part is that I realize that's exactly what I do with God. I sit down, have an amazing time with God, and then I'm really frustrated a week later, and I go to have my God time, and I'm like, God, why are all these things happening? Where are you? Why aren't you coming through? And God's like, so when have you decided to come and have that, like, same interaction with me that you had last week? I'm like, well, I'm doing it now. Later. That's right, I kind of forgot about what happened to us. And that's often the case. That's often how we interact with God. And God is feeling you guys are on the edge of your seats waiting for the, like, steps that you can write down in your book. And, you know, this isn't a sermon that's going to give you those steps, because I can't tell you how to interact with God the same way that I can't tell you to build a healthy relationship with another person, with a specific other person, because it's going to be different based on your circumstances. But here's some things to look at. Prayer, okay? If we're not engaging with God in a one-on-one dialogue on a regular basis, it's going to be hard to get to know his character. One, that thing that I find in prayer is that it lets me to hear how I'm actually interacting with God, okay? Because some days I'm really frustrated, and when I pray, I'll actually get that frustration out with God, and so then I realize, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of frustrated in my relationship with God today. I'm frustrated about how this day has gone. It might even spill over into anger, but then when I'm praying that out, I'm actually getting that out, so I get to learn how I interact with him. I get to learn some of the things that I'm doing that are cueing God's relationship with me. Additionally, though, that is one place where we majorly taste and see. Okay? Because when we, prayer is not all about asking God for things, okay? But when we do communicate on a heart-to-heart level with God, and we let Him know what's going on inside of our hearts, sometimes that is asking for things, right? Sometimes it is saying, God, I really need you to come through with this very practical thing, like enough money for rent, for example. I really need you to come through with this, God. And so we're opening up our heart to Him, saying, that's something that's really, really big on my heart right now, because that's causing me a lot of stress. That gives God an opportunity to respond as well. And that's part of the tasting and seeing process, is you actually have to give that to God in order for Him to respond. So many times, Noelle and I have struggled with something, and then, like, I've kind of been lamenting to Noelle about it, or she'll say, like, having prayed about it. I was just trying to fix it. Pray about it. And
it's unfortunately what I do, and I know I'm not the only one in that.
Worshiping God just on a daily basis. That's something, Bandit, with Him, like, he is not just like a dog to sit in his crate and then go on walks with us. Like, we have fun with Him at home as well. Like, Noelle and I both will pick Bandit up and wrestle with him on the couch. We'll, like, pick up this 60-pound dog and throw him onto the couch and shove him around. And sometimes I'll get down on my hands and knees and like, wrestle with him the way that a dog would, okay? We have fun together. That's part of what worship is, right? Worship is, like, engaging with God through our passions, right? And so worship doesn't even need to be music. That's how we often do it on Sunday night. It's a great way to facilitate corporate worship. But it could be, you know, writing poetry. It could be going for a jog and just, like, going for a jog knowing that the presence of God is with you and interacting with Him while you do that. It could be sitting down and playing music. It could be painting a picture, sculpting something, drawing in a picture book. You know, whatever your passions might be, it's interacting with God through your passions, having fun with Him on a regular basis. It's going to be a strained relationship to trust God if you've never had fun with God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, just like, I know both those things can be one-on-one time with Him, they can also be corporate, but intentionally having one-on-one time with God. You know, I've talked about this before from the front, and I know a bunch of people have taken me up on this, and that is to, like, go have a coffee with God, one-on-one. This is something that truly revolutionized my walk with God. Like, I was at a place where I really did not know the character of God. I totally thought of God as the just enforcer at the other end of the leash. And God challenged me to start going out with Him, going out on a regular basis to a coffee shop and just sitting down and realizing that the presence of God was there with me. And so I would do that, and I'd start to connect with Him, and then in those moments, I'd start to just, like, speak honestly. And it's great if you live in downtown Toronto, because if you start speaking to an empty chair across the table from you, you won't actually be out of place. And I would just start speaking out the things that were on my heart to God. It's almost like prayer time, right? But it's just a really real moment with God where I'm connecting with Him one-on-one, and that started to grow my relationship, because let me tell you, God will come and meet you in those places where you submit yourself, and when you submit yourself with complete humility, because trust me, it takes that to sit in a coffee shop with Him. But you can go to a park, whatever it is that, like, works for you and God. If you're not a coffee shop person, like, don't try to force that. It's not a formula. But it's just about having one-on-one time with God. You can have one-on-one time with God in your room and just be intentional about it. Say, you know what, God? I'm going to just spend an hour with you every day. I'm not going to be religious about it. I don't have an agenda. I don't have, like, that set hour. And maybe you're the type of person who does need to set an hour, and not for or against
that.
But just saying, you know, I'm going to intentionally pursue just this one-on-one time with you every day. Right? Like, I've had to intentionally do that with Bandit. Go for the walks with him so that we're intentionally going to let him learn that these are the good things that bring him greater delight, so that really he can have a lifetime chasing squirrels instead of a lifetime waiting to sit. Okay? Now you can go over it. Baby steps. Okay? God is not looking for us to to suddenly completely dismantle our lives and become different people so that we can just in an instant understand and know his character. Okay, God is not looking for that. The same way that Noelle and I knew realistically when we got an 8-month-old puppy that had been in our shelter his whole life, we knew that we were going to have a significant amount of time ahead of us where we would have to work with him. We weren't going to bring a dog home that was going to suddenly be perfect and listen to all of our commands. Now, we were hugely blessed, and he's listened to us way better than we ever expected, but it's been baby steps with him. And, you know, if I only expect little baby steps of my puppy, how much more does the God of the universe have patience for us just taking little steps getting to know his character? Okay? We don't have to, as I say, reprogram our lives that we spend, you know, 12 hours a day seeking after God in, like, intense prayer and intercession so that we get to know him better. What God is looking for is that we take intentional steps to get to know him better. They can be baby steps. If you have never prayed to God on a daily basis before, if you like pray to God maybe when exams come up and that's about it, then maybe go through a season where you just talk to God on a daily basis. You're like, well, I don't think I have things to ask him on a daily basis. That's great that you can just listen. Okay, whatever it is, if you every day you come and you sit down with a list before God of these are the things I'm going to pray for, fine. If you come every day and you're like, I prayed for all this stuff yesterday, I want something new today, you fine, pray for something different. If you get to that place where you're like, I don't have anything to pray for, then just listen. See what happens in your spirit. Okay, God's going to show up and going to meet you. If you've never had a one-on-one time with God before where you just said, like, I don't have an agenda, God, I just want to meet with you, take that baby step. Like, I'm sorry, Jordan, I can't commit to doing that on a regular basis. That's fine. Take a baby step. Do it once. See what happens. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay? Like, we can read all about how great God is, and we can come to agreement with that. But if we're not actively and intentionally pursuing his character and who he really is, if we're not taking steps towards that, then we're not really going to be tasting. We're just going to be believing that the Lord is good, thinking that the Lord is good, but we're not actually going to be seeing it or tasting it. We won't be experiencing it. It's going to be really hard for us to share that with others. It's going to be really hard for us to take delight in that fact. The Lord is good. It's a promise and a test, because you can test it and he won't let you down.
That's good.
Let's just go to the last one. Why don't you all stand up? Okay, we often do a lot of ministry at the end of our sermons. We're not going to do that tonight. I'm going to pray for you guys. But I want, if you haven't written this verse down, okay, you can't read it at all, but it's Psalm 34, verse 8. Yeah, sorry, I wrote it down wrong on my paper, so I want to make sure. It's Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. If you haven't written that down yet, write that down already, and that is the message that we walk away with tonight. That we would taste and see. Which means if we're not seeing that the Lord is good, we're not able to trust in him because, you know, we're not seeing it happen. Well, let's look at how we're intentionally tasting of the Lord. Let's look at how we're intentionally giving him space and intentionally pursuing him. Okay, and for each and every one of you, that's going to be different because I want you to pursue God. I don't want you to pursue my relationship with God. Or what I say about him, I want you to pursue him one-on-one, that you personally would get to know his character. That you personally would taste and see that he is good. Alright? Because we are called to be a generation completely trusting after God, able to put our 100% in him and see him not let us down. And I, for one, want to walk in that, and I want to see that for each and every one of you.
Yeah.
So if you just close your eyes, I'm going to pray over you guys. Father, we just declare that you are good in this place. And where our hearts can't say it right now, we just choose to say it with our mouths. Where our heads can't say it, we choose to say it right now with our mouths. And we just speak that out as truth. We declare that in this place, that hard hearts would be broken, that hard old mindsets would be broken. Papa, we just declare that you are good. We want to be able to trust in you 100%. So I ask Holy Spirit right now that you would open up our eyes, a place where we can intentionally pursue you, a way that you want to interact with us. Papa, and ask that you would just put that on our hearts as we go out from this place this week, that you would continually stir it on our hearts. I give you permission to just continually stir on our hearts that we would be pursuing after you, to continually stir on our hearts the ways in which we should be intentional about pursuing after you. Guys, if you believe that, I want you to actually give Holy Spirit permission right now. So you can just repeat it after me and just say, Holy Spirit, I give you permission.
Holy Spirit, I give you permission.
To continually stir in my heart.
To continually stir in my heart.
And continually remind me.
To pursue relationship with you.
God, I want to know your character more.
God, I want to know your character more.
I want to be able to trust in you with all of my heart.
I want to be able to trust in you with all of my heart.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bless you guys to go out and do this. Okay. We don't want you coming in here on a Sunday night just to laugh at our messages or enjoy the group atmosphere. We want you to actually grow in your relationship with God with this stuff. Okay? Bless you. Please put away your chairs as you head up.